Praise the Lord. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Amen. Look forward to this when I was asked a couple weeks ago. So this is something that God put on my heart that it's for a time as now, I believe, because prayer is what's going to get us through. Amen. Prayer is going to take us to that level where we need to be. Amen. I'm just thankful for our pastor today and everything he has put into us and invested into us. Amen. And Brother Buck actually put something on Facebook today saying he was reading the Bible today and just thinking how great of a shepherd we have, a pastor that loves his flock. Amen. So we appreciate you, Pastor, very much, and Sister Cox as well, for your serving this community. Amen. We're expecting great things in 2018, aren't we? Is anyone else expecting great things? It's all right as a church. We are expecting great things in 2018 this year. You know, as kids, you learn to be consistent. You learn to be just kind of trial and error. As you're a child, you are told that you can eat dirt because dirt don't hurt. You guys remember that saying? I think a lot of the millennials grew up that way. Their parents like, you better spend... there's 12 hours of sunlight. You better be out there for 14 hours today. Go build a castle out of sand. I don't care what you do. Just be outside and do something. Eat as much dirt pies as you want. Does anyone else remember those days when I think now they're kind of locked up on those Xbox and PlayStations and Nintendo Switches. I don't even know what those are anymore. Like, kind of so far out of the loop. And I'm only 36. So I know I'm not that far out, but my goodness. But we're taught as kids to go out and experiment and to develop certain things. And I think God wants us to also know that in our prayer lives as well, we need to develop prayer. Amen. Prayer is our weapon. You can, like I said, eat dirt because dirt don't hurt. I'm not saying eat dirt while you're praying. What I'm saying is you can experiment to say, hey, God, you know, a lot of times, when do you go to prayer the most in your life? When you have a need. That's just how us as humans are. When we need something from God, is usually the time that we go to God. Amen? So, does anyone believe that? But I wanted to share with you a couple of thoughts I had in my head that God had put some fruits in there, and I just want to see if I can expound on those a little bit. But do you believe that bad things happen to good people? Life happens to good people? Just because something bad happens to you doesn't mean it's not in the will of the Lord, amen? It's all ordained by God. You know, God orchestrates this. We go through life, but we're not, we're subject to life, amen? We're subject to the pains and the hurts and the fears, and there's no safe place outside of God that we can go to, amen? There's no way to outrun a need in your life. There's no way to outrun it unless you have God with you. Does anyone believe that? You have an ally in Jesus. We are not omitted from the life events and things that happen. You can live in that as well. You can also live in those events that happen in your life. But we're taught to be tough when... has anyone parent told them you need to toughen up a little bit? You know, go run on the rocks barefooted. You need to toughen up a little bit. I don't know if that was just my grandpa or not, but that's what he told us when we were little. We need to run on them rocks barefooted sometimes and to toughen up a little bit, because this life isn't going to just give you cupcakes every day. This life isn't going to give you pats on the back and participation trophies. Amen. When the going gets tough, we all know that, don't we? Because that's kind of how we're gauged, as your parents want you to know that don't give up. You know, if we could just take that aspect of life and turn it into our prayer lives, don't give up. When it starts getting tough around you, you need to get on your knees and pray, man. But even before then, you know, we've been going through this book, my wife and I was like, man, this is just good information for us to have, that just because you don't have to go and pray the most perfect prayer. You know, God isn't expecting you to pray a prayer that's in the Bible. He's expecting you to talk to him. He wants to hear from you. He wants to know what's going on in your life, in your situation, what your ideas are, what you want from him. Amen? And this book that we have kind of help us focus on that. And I appreciate reading that. My wife's been reading that because she's so kind. But I appreciate her reading that today, and we were just going through that and sharing thoughts and stuff. So that was so awesome and empowering today that when it gets tough, we just keep going, don't we? You have the choice to stay in that, or you can just back up and run away from it, amen? Everything that we find or go through in our life is to benefit us. You know, God didn't expect you to live a perfect life because he lived a perfect life, amen? He died on the cross for you, amen? Because he didn't expect you to do that for yourself, amen? Both hard and easy trials, that is. And I you know, it's easy to pray and serve God when you have all the laughs and you have all the positive things going on in your life, amen? It's kind of hard when you're not going through, or you're going through a situation that just requires you to, it wears you down. It takes everything away from you, amen? In James chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms." Say amen. You know, and that's kind of the thought for my message here tonight is we're not omitted from those things, but if you are afflicted, pray. Let him pray. And that's something that you're required to do. I can't pray for you to help you through a situation. Amen. And each situation that you go through, no matter how hard it is or how easy it is, it all points to one thing, and that's to find God, to grow in God, to read his word, to pray, amen? It drives us to prayer. The feeling that we feel in, sometimes in life, things are going so well that you even feel invincible at times. You feel like nothing could go wrong in your life. Everything seems to be perfect. The birds are always chirping. You wake up in the morning, your laundry's folded, put away. Everything is good. Life is good. You have breakfast waiting on the table. But there's also times in your life where that breakfast isn't on the table, amen? There's also times when you have to go and do some hard labor to get things done, amen? That's life. But that's in both those times, we need to learn that that is where we need to seek God first, amen? We need to be merry. It says, let him sing psalms to him, amen? Because when you sing the psalms to him, that's just giving God thanks. That's giving God worship for what he is, amen? Pain and troubles and afflictions, they humble us. If you ever took time out of your busy life and thought about how things happen in a day, have you ever been humbled by something? You know, you feel like you're on the top of the mountain and then something just chops those legs out from under you and you become humble. Amen. So God wants us, I think God expects us to stay humble. Amen. It's not what you have done individually. We give God praise because he's done it. Amen. And he made a way where there seemed to be no way. Amen. So those moments in our lives where we just don't think we can overcome, we just don't think we can move, God expects us to find him, amen? Affliction makes us realize the power that God has, amen? The power that he has is unmatched by anything in this world, amen? It is something that no one else can touch, no one else can take away. When you find yourself and you can't do whatever situation that you're going through, on your own, you can turn to God and say, I need the power from above that's perfect. God has all power in heaven and earth. Do you believe that tonight? God has all power in heaven and earth. The demons tremble at his name, amen. As a human, we are so powerless. We have no, if you look for eternal events in your life, you have no power over anything in eternity without God. Amen. You cannot win yourself a seat in heaven. You cannot do it on your own. But God came into this world and died on a cross for you so you wouldn't have to do it. Amen. He came and got be on his back for your sickness or your disease or whatever you need healing of. He came and he bore the cross for that. Amen. So the gift that God wants you to receive in the trials is just is the power that he has is just unreal. Amen. And then when you realize how powerless you are, everything is easier to turn over to him. When you realize that you can't do nothing on through yourself, that you have to have God, it's easy to give it back to him. Affliction brings us comfort. God can be your comforter. Do you believe that in that lonely midnight hour when everything seems to be gone, you lose a loved one or you hug someone for the last time as they take their last breath here on earth, that comfort that God can give you is unmatched, unparalleled to anything else. Amen? I don't know how people can do it if they don't have a relationship with Jesus. I don't know how they can do it when they don't have someone to turn to that has all power in heaven and earth to transform your heart. Amen? Blessed be God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the NIV, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions. 2 Corinthians 1 and 3. Amen. He comforts us in all our afflictions. Amen. If you ever lost a loved one and tried to did it on your own, and some people drag it out. I'll share this every time I speak, but it's something that's real that happened to me when I lost my brother. It took me a long time to accept that and get over that because I tried doing it myself. And so one night I was at a revival service with a very special minister that night, and he come all the way back to the back of the church where I was sitting, and he told me, he said, Clint, I never met this man before. He said, Clint, you have to get over it. God had a reason and purpose. You have to get over it. That's all he said to me. But that night really changed the way in my mind I began to think. You know, because I always like, well, I'm going to use this as a crutch for the rest of my life. I lost a dear friend, a brother, companion when I was young. You know, how am I supposed to live the rest of my life? But I had to get over it and realize that I still have a life to live. You know, God is wanting to fulfill something in my life. Amen. So like I said, without God, how can you make it? You know, God's a comfort and a peace past all our understanding that we can't even explain sometimes, but he knows. After all, he did make your heart. Your heart is made by God. So why couldn't he fix your heart in a way that no one else could? Because he made it. If he made something, he'll fix it if we give him an opportunity to. Affliction also brings us to the endurance and patience that needed to wait for an answer. Even though you want to pray something, accept it, and run away from it, sometimes you have to wait and go through a situation and go through the trial. Amen. It doesn't always immediately happen like we want in our lives, but God does do things instantly. He is a healer. Instantly can heal you in your body. He also can prove to you that he is in control and he has all power. Two instances here for you in my personal life. Once again, my daughter, when she was born, she had an atrial septal defect in her body. Is that right? Which her heart was not fully developed. She had holes in her heart, basically is the gist of it. And they were looking to do open heart surgery on my little 1-month-old baby. They were telling us that we're going to have to probably look into this with the specialist. And when stuff like that happens, that really humbles you. That really takes you to your knees in prayer. I would say, Charlie, our life was doing really well, wasn't it? We just had our second child, and God had blessed us, and we were so happy. And that doctor appointment, I don't think my wife and I even talked. We were broken. We were sad. We didn't know what to do, and we understood that we served a God that had all power in his hands. And I think when we got home, we began to both just say, you know what? We'll do whatever it takes. is going to have to happen. You know, we can't stop it from happening, but we're going to turn it over to God. And I think we both did that night. We both agreed to each other that God was in control. But luckily for us, we had, which happened to be the same man that told me in the back of a church one day, Clint, you have to get over it. He was here at our church, Prophet Mitchell. He was here. I did not explain the situation to him. He called us up front, pretty much diagnosed my child with the same thing without us telling him about it. And God healed my baby right here. God healed her heart. He made her heart whole. The doctor was like, wow, that's a new heart I hear in there. That's different. And I'm thankful for that. So instantly God can move. Instantly God can move. And we realized how powerless we were as a couple that who we learned actually this week that we try to fix things ourselves. Brother Justin mentioned something like that on Sunday. We try to fix things ourselves. We don't like to be vulnerable. We don't like to be out of control. But I think sometimes God wants to prove that he's in control still. So when we turn that over to God, then it all starts making a little more sense. Amen? But like I said, he also can give you endurance and patience. That's the opposite end of that. That's going through something. Amen? I know several people have dealt with cancer, and instead of an instant blessing or instant healing, they have to endure a couple things. They had to be patient on the Lord, even though they had to go through some stuff they didn't want to go through, amen? And I will give you another example of this in my personal life. My brother-in-law is watching online tonight, and his little girl, her name is Kinsley. As much as you guys know her, she will be turning 2 in July. July of 2016, she was born with Down syndrome. She also had several heart defects. She had an undeveloped heart, required open heart surgery. And we didn't know the extent of everything. You know, this is something that she had to get down to Riley's, went through special specialists to find out how they're going to fix her heart. She was a weak child. She breathed on her own, but she had a hard time eating. She had a hard time doing other things. And then the Down syndrome was also a developmental thing, so we didn't know what was going on with the baby. But, you know, we went to prayer once again, and my wife can contest to this. God, you're in control. We've seen you heal my child. We've seen the heart problem go away in my child. So we kind of went to that. You know, God, you can do it. You're going to heal her, 100% heal her. This is where the patience and the endurance comes through. She was born in July in 2016. December 2016 comes, and she's a little over five months old. She spends Christmas and New Year's in the hospital with open heart surgery. They had cut her chest open and reconstructed her heart, and they were successful. They were successful recreating the heart the way it's supposed to be to function to help her grow and live on her own, amen. So that's something I was like, God, you're going to heal her. You're going to do it. You're going to do it. I believe it. She had surgery. I was kind of took back a step. I'm like, man, what happened? What, my faith, what happened? I thought this was going to happen. And then God also, he speaks to you sometimes, and he just says, trust me. Just let me do my thing. You know, and Grady and Marquita, they're good parents. Kinsey's a beautiful little girl. We love her to death. And in May, well, she started getting sick again in April, just kind of unresponsive, not wanting to play around very much, and in and out of the hospital up here. In May, they took her back to, they actually flew her from Memorial Children's Hospital to Indianapolis, to Riley's. I watched her it was a couple hours, just non-responsive, laying, hooked up to life support, hooked up to tons and tons and tons of different machines, and her vitals were going all over the place. We didn't know what was going on, but again, we had faith. We said, God, you're not done with her. We know that there's a reason and purpose for this, and this was in May of 2017. She actually died on that bed that day. She died a couple hours later. I snuck in there before, and I'm glad I did. Not saying it was me, but I said, God, this is your child. You have total control over her. I put my hand on her foot, and I said, God, just touch her. That's all I know what to do, just touch her. I didn't know what was going to happen. I was out in the waiting room. I got a text from Charlie. He said, it's really bad. That's all she said to me in a text. So I grabbed the kids, and we knelt down on the couch there, and we began to pray. Well, during this time, I was unaware, but she actually, the monitor went off. She had died. They were resuscitating her. They were able to bring her back after a couple minutes. They found out she had passed a blood clot through her heart, and that just doesn't happen. They just don't come back. She instantly started getting better at that moment. After that happened, she started being responsive. Scary time in our lives, but God proved through his patience, if we trusted him, that he was going to do it. Amen. We endured with that patience and trusting God that he was going to do something. We spent Christmas with this little angel, New Year's with this little angel this year, and she is so happy. She is so doing so well. She's a bundle of joy to us, brings joy to our hearts. The smile she has can't be matched by anyone else. She is special. And I look at her and say, God, you healed this baby. You know, even though she went through some things, you healed her, because the doctor's outlook on her life was not very good. It was saying that we don't know what's going to happen, but she's going to require several surgeries and different things. But they went back to cardiologists, and everything's looking great. She's looking better than they expected. So that's a testimony in itself. And Grady, you know God did that. And you know, because I've heard him say it, that God did something. And the doctor looked at Grady at Riley's and said, you know, that was not us. That was a higher power. That was, the doctor knew God was involved in that situation. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise in this house. Through patience and through the endurance, we can see where God will bring us. Amen. It might not happen right away, but it will happen. God wants us to have compassion for others, amen? So it's a lot easier to be compassionate to someone if they have gone through what you have gone through. If someone has gone through cancer, it's easier for someone who has gone through cancer to relate to them, amen? Because they understand how that feels. If someone broke their leg, don't talk to someone that's running marathons, because they're not going to understand how you feel, amen? And like I said, it's easy to sing and dance and clap and shout and scream when everything's going great and everything's going good in your life. But when you're in an infirmity or a sickness, or you feel like the devil's just chasing you around, it doesn't even have to be a sickness. There's a lot of people that deal with these negative voices in their heads and their lives because of bad decisions they've made. Who do you think is responsible for those voices? Amen. The devil wants you to feel like he's got you in his palm of his hand, where we all know God is the creator with all power in heaven and earth, and he's got you in the palm of his hand, amen? When we begin to pray, we have so much power in our prayers that God can transform you, amen? After all, we can remember that through any affliction in your body, that this world that we live in is not our home, amen? We're here, we live here, we live in this world. But we're not of this world, amen. We have a promise that's bigger than this world. It's a scary time in this world when you hear nuclear threats all the time. It seems like more recently, it's not a joke. It's for real. That's the world we live in today, man. I closed my eyes today and said, God, I expect your coming. I expect it. I want to see it happen. I want to see your face, God. Amen. Does anyone else want to see God's face? And you could be the richest man in this world, but like I said, you're not going to buy a place in heaven. At the end of the day, your promise is in heaven. Some principles we got to learn to get our prayers to get to a point where, you know, God just wants to hear your voice. He wants to hear your heart. You don't have to spend 36 hours in prayer in a 24-hour day. You know, you don't have to do that. That's more than 24 hours. I understand that. I'm not da-da-da-da there. I understand that. What I'm saying is, in our head, we think sometimes that the longer we pray, the better prayer we'll have. That's not the case. The longer prayer is not going to make you a better prayer warrior, amen? It's when you are real with God and God can see your heart and he knows your prayer. That's when God's going to respond, amen? So when you are real with God and can speak to him like he's right beside you, that's when God can move, amen? God cannot tell a lie. Do you believe that? Yes. Amen. He's a way maker and a promise keeper. God's purchased remission of sins and the sacrifice at Calvary. His mercy is uncomparable to anything. It's everlasting. Amen. Know the power of God's might. At the end of the day, we have to know the power of God's might. If we could have put a pair, this is kind of the thought I had, if we could put a pair of Jesus vision on and see through God's eyes, if we could put a pair of glasses on and see what he sees, amen, when we go through something, then he sees that he's able to give you patience, when he's able to give you a blessing, amen, when he sees he can do that for you. If we could just see that when we pray and know that that's what's going to happen the way God sees it, wouldn't your life be different? Wouldn't everything be different? His eye's sickness is gone. His eye pain is gone. The money that you feel you have to have and can't make it without, that feeling is gone, amen? He's already defeated death, hell, and the grave, and he's already died on the cross for your sin. So nothing can shade over that, amen? Think about it. Think about it. There are several verses, the last thing I want to say here, there's several verses in the Bible that speak about giving praise to God, giving thanks to God first. Don't take it for yourself. God did this on his own. You didn't have anything to do with it, amen? God did this before you were even around. We are powerless without him. But give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. So we give the way God has blessed you, you can give back to God, amen. And that's the cycle of life that we go through. God wants us to give what we have back, amen. It's not about keeping it in a little box. His mercy is for real. When you see through his eyes, you'll understand that he covers you with mercy. He covers you with grace. His love is real. Calvary was real. Calvary was real, amen.
Thank you, Brother Clint. That's a good word tonight. An educational night tonight. It is coming to that understanding that, and I like that part where he said, being real with God. You don't need a heavenly choir. You don't need a lot. And I appreciate our music department. Sunday morning, it is absolutely incredible. The worship and so forth. I wish that all of the community and that, but whether you're in a crowd or you're in the midst of a physical battle, there is peace that passes all understanding. Being real with God is you can go through a deep sickness. Everybody's giving you advice on what chicken noodle soup you need to take or whatever, but there's those moments that you're just at peace with God. Amen. And it's just you and him. And you have a little talk with him. Amen. And I have found that through life, through the things that I've gone through, is the fact is that somewhere, at some moment, sometime, maybe many times, the reality of that no one else can help you except God. Nobody can do for you what God can do. And it's in those moments. And I think when we read in the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings there, where God walked with his creation, Adam and Eve, he walked in the cool of the evening. God is about relationships, personal relationships. And that comes simply when you are in your mind, in your spirit, wherever you may be on the job, running a machine, driving a truck. It's that moment, that time you have that closeness with God. You feel the presence of God. Amen. And that comes by your relationship with him. I like what Psalms 33, verse 21 22 says, "For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name." That's how your heart's going to rejoice. When you have that one-on-one relationship with God. Amen? Verse 22 says, "Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee." I hope in Christ. If I hope in him, his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting to everlasting. I see the world that we're living in, and you experience it every day. We see the problems that everybody's going through. And there's no problem, no sin, nothing that God cannot take care of. We have to surrender to him. Here it is. And I love to hear what I've been hearing tonight about starting our 40 days of prayer and the books that we passed out Sunday. And that you're sitting down with your family and you're reading the book. You're reading the book. What's about the book? There's nothing really fantastic about that book. It's the fact is that you're sitting down and in your family, you're having that relationship.
Yes, sir.
If it takes a book to do that, then fantastic, that book is a great book. But it's not the words it says, it's the intent for us to get along with God, get along with ourselves in relationship with God, which builds that faith. And I think this is what the psalmist was saying here again. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Anybody have hope in Christ?
Amen.
And then thy mercy of the Lord is going to be from everlasting to everlasting in your life. Amen. Hallelujah.